You're genuinely hungry for the Lord. You want to walk with Him. You want to be pleasing to Him. You want to know Him. It's beautiful. I felt strongly all week long, and then I really pressed into it because it wasn't clear enough for me, so I was pressing into it hard for the last 2 days, hours yesterday, before the Lord about, you know, what He wanted me to teach. I want you to know that I simply refuse to prepare a message. I'm done with that. I did it for like 20 years. I'm done with it. Literally, I'm done. Not doing it. You know what? I'm done with that, Peter. I'm just done with it. And so, if I don't get something from the Lord, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do because I'm not going to prepare a message.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
And so, I don't have a message for you today.
Yeah.
I had the same thought. That's what they're saying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Maybe that's why I didn't get one. But up until last night, late last night, working on it, I just said, Lord, I'm not preparing a message. And this morning I woke up and I said, Lord, this is really strange. I mean, this has happened a few times in the couple of years that I've been pastoring. But the last one was probably, you know, well over a year ago. I told Peter about it. I was in the back of the room, and I leaned over to my sister, and I said, I don't have a clue what I'm going to say when I get up there. And she looked at me like, with a shock, like, are you serious? And then she goes, this is going to be good. And honestly, you know, my personal opinion of that message, I think it's probably one of the better messages I've ever heard. I was loving it. It was just, I was like, man, this is good, you know. So, praise God. What I was sensing from the Lord, but I was definitely sensing something from Him throughout the week, but I was like, okay, how about some scriptures on that? Where do you want me to go? I mean, I can think of scriptures on it, but I want to know, what do you want me to talk out of? What verses, you know? But I didn't get anything. So, but what I felt like the Lord was saying, like really heavy, is, Brad, I just want you to talk to them about the relationship of walking in the Spirit. Talk to them about the relationship. That's what I kept getting. Just talk to them about the relationship. And, you know, I mean, that's just like a real general thing. I was looking for something a little more specific than that, but that's what I kept getting. So I wrote some things down. Which is not, you know, as you know, I don't normally do that. I tried that for a long time and I gave up on that. So, because I'll prepare three pages of notes and never even look at them. And after, you know, you do that, spend hours doing that, never look at them. It's like, why am I writing these things down? So, but anyhow, I do have a lot that I want to say in this area. I mean, I'm not without something to say, but I'm just not real sure where I'm going to go. So. Here we go. Let me just say this. What we've been talking about is walking by the Spirit. And I trust that you are much further along in understanding what it means to walk by the Spirit than you were, you know, a couple months ago. But I still want to talk to you about that subject, you know. And the first thing I want to say is that if I was to try and summarize, if someone was to say, what is walking by the Spirit? What is that? I mean, you know, that whole walk by the Spirit thing, you know? I mean, what is that? One of the first things I would say to that is, first and foremost, it's a choice. You have to realize that. It's not just going to come on you. It's not something that just comes on you. It's a choice that you make. You and I have to make a choice. I am going to walk by the Spirit. It's a quality decision, not a flaky one. It's a decision that says, I'm not going to try this. It's a decision that says, I see it in the Word that I'm supposed to do it, and I am going to do it. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. The next thing I would say to it as to what is walking by the Spirit, excuse me, this is the choice. This is that decision. We say, I'm going to make a choice. What is that choice? It's a choice that says, first of all, what is the opposite of walking in the Spirit? Walking in the flesh. Walking in darkness, same thing. It's walking in the flesh. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Walking in the Spirit is a choice, and here is the choice. It's saying to yourself, I will no longer be the good, willing, and obedient servant of the impulses and circumstances of my life. But instead, I choose the allegiance of wholly giving myself over to the divine will. It's a choice. I will no longer be the good, willing, and obedient servant of my impulses or my circumstances. But I choose a higher calling. It's a decision of allegiance. Who am I going to give my allegiance to? I choose the allegiance of the higher calling of the divine will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was saying that, he'd already made the choice throughout his life. And by the way, let me tell you, it's not a choice that you make only once. It's one you're going to have to make over and over and over and over and over again. But it starts with a quality decision to live this life. And then just know that you are fortunately a living sacrifice, not a dead one. It's what Romans 12:1 is talking about. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. It's our reasonable service to the one who died, who received the most incredible, brutal beating to set us free. It's only reasonable service that I would say, I'm going with you. I'm following you. It's also a really wise choice. Yeah, exactly. Yes, that Ruth and Boaz. Very wise choice, Ruth. So it's that. It's a choice. It says, Father, not my will anymore, but yours be done. Now, listen, you may think of that as being like a real sacrifice. And in a way it is, in the sense that, you know, your impulses of your flesh are going to be keep continually telling you things you want to do. And it takes work to say, I'm not doing that. But is it really a sacrifice when all of those choices that we, if we give to those choices, give to us as a gift, death? And if we say no to that, and we say yes to this, we get life. So does that really even count as being called a sacrifice?
Yeah, exactly. A living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Instead of dead
disobedience. Right, yes. Exactly. You know, so that's our choice. We're saying, I'm going to decide no to death from now on and yes to life. So, you know, that's just one way I would summarize what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. First and foremost, it's a choice that you have to make. Don't think it's going to be something that comes on you in the ooey-gooeys and the, you know, the sky opens up and the angels start singing, ah! And then, you know, it's time. Now I'm going to walk in the Spirit. It doesn't happen like that. It's a decision you make at some point in your life, and you say, you know, it's all throughout the New Testament. Jesus calls me to this. At some point, I have to sign up to it and say, that's what I want to do. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. And then some kind of a definition of what exactly is that. It's saying, I am no longer going to be the willing, obedient servant of my impulses or even my circumstances. Do you know what I mean by that? Okay. So, when you're in a job situation that's really heavy, you know, either you're in a job that you hate, or you're in the possible predicament of losing your job, or you lost your job, or your job is going to transfer you to a state you don't want to be in, or I don't know, you know, any number of circumstances, you know, ones you don't like, that you don't spiral down in depression, sorrow, worry, and all that. You stay with the fact of the Word of God that says, God is my source, not this job, not this situation, not any situation. Nothing is my source. You know, this is so freeing when you get this. And I don't mean as if you don't get it. When we get this, and to the degree we get this, we get set free. This is freedom. You know, I mean, everything I've been talking about walking in the Spirit, I hope you understand, there's no condemnation in this whole thing. I mean, this isn't like I'm trying to beat everyone saying, you need to walk by the Spirit. Listen, we're already free in Christ. We've been set free. We've been saved. We're His. There is no condemnation to us. This is just a matter of, I'm trying to help us all be set free in our life. Amen. To live the life, the abundant life that Jesus has for us. Because many Christians, you know, honestly, we're not living the abundant life that Jesus talks about. And so then you have to ask yourself, where's that abundant life? Where is that, Lord? This is it. This is where it is. First of all, you have to know the truth of the Word, which means you got to meditate in the Word, learn the truth. The truth will set you free. And then you have to walk it out. Truth doesn't just come on you. It doesn't just fall on you. And, you know, I mean, you got to walk it out. You got to step in it. How do you do that? This is it. Walk by the Spirit. So, you're in a certain situation, easy for you to say. You're in a certain situation, whether that's a human being in your face doing something very ungodlike, and you have the impulses, the impulse to slap, you know, the impulse to say something very mean to them or whatever. You're in that situation and you say to yourself, wait a minute, I made a choice. It's not my will anymore. I don't care how bad I want to slap this person. I don't care how bad I want to say this thing to this person. I made a choice. It's not my will anymore. Okay, my will aside, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say to this person? If you do that, if I do that, He will lead you. And then you act out of that, and you say to yourself, that was foreign. That's not at all what I wanted to do or say. Yes, and the results are going to be life. If not for the other person, because they may not receive it, it will be for you. You'll experience life. But most of the time, the vast majority of the time, so will they. Well, they're going to experience it whether they respond accordingly then or not. They're going to walk away and recognize that was not normal. That was not what I'm used to running into. That was different. What was that? And I want that. That was godlike, you know? I was on my couch yesterday thinking about this, meditating, God, you know, what do you want me to say and all of that. And I was trying to, and I felt like He kept saying, Brad, just talk to them about the relationship. And basically, you know, the relationship I've been enjoying, I've been walking in for years, just talk to them about it. What's it like? You know, not to say I'm perfected in it. By all means, I press on to that place of perfection. I have not arrived, but I have left. That's all. You know what I mean? I'm just... And so he just wants me to describe, to the degree that I have understanding, describe the relationship. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, that very point when you first start out, remember the cooler? Put the cooler down, turn around, hug my brother. Foreign, it was really foreign to me. For those of you who don't understand, I was really struggling with, I wasn't walking with the Lord. I just got saved, and, you know, several years before I gave my life to Christ, I was real heavy in business. I was very successful in business, and it was just everything was business, business, business. And, you know, when I was younger, I was all lovey-dovey and hug everyone, and I don't know, life just stripped it out of me. And I got to this place where I was just all business. I mean, literally, you know, I was all business. I didn't own a pair of tennis shoes. I didn't own jeans. I mean, I had nothing but dress slacks and shirts and, you know, I looked business. I acted business. I was business. I mean, I was all business. I was no emotion, nothing. Just, you know, whatever. You got a problem, listen, show up on time or you don't have a job tomorrow. That's all I got to say. You know what I mean? Just move on. I mean, I had more compassion than that, but I mean, it was pretty much all business. I gave my life to Christ, and the Spirit of God, man, he just did a number on me, and I was just like, I had all this love in my heart towards people, but man, I did not know how to express it. I was still all business. I was wrapped in the shell of all business, but I knew there was this fight, this spirit and flesh was fighting, and so, you know, I'm out with my brother, and we're walking along by this lake. We're spending time together just reading the Word. We used to go there and just get before the Lord together. It was really a precious time, and we're walking back, and I'm carrying the cooler, and he's got stuff in his hands, and I just kept feeling like, I need to act like what the Spirit of God would be. I kept saying to myself, you need to hug your brother. You need to hug your brother, you know? And it was really awkward, so finally I just said, I just stopped, set the cooler down, turned around, and gave my brother a big hug. He still has his hands full of chairs and everything. I just hugged him, turned around and picked up the cooler. I didn't say a word, just kept walking. He just stood back and just started laughing. He just thought that was the funniest thing because he could see what I was doing. He saw the struggle, you know. And that was foreign. And I realized yesterday by the Spirit of the Lord, as I was thinking that through, I was like, Lord, how do I do it? How do I describe it? And I was thinking through, how did I grow in this? And how did it happen? All that. And I realized it's like, exactly like learning a language. And at first, it's foreign. It's a foreign language. And I realized this whole thing is really literally a heavenly language that's different than the language of the earth. And it's learning this heavenly language. And at first, you have to think about every move. Okay, here's a situation. Now, this is what I would do. Okay, I'm not doing that. So Holy Spirit, help me. What would you have me do? He'll give you scriptures. Oh, yeah. Or he'll just give you a word. Or he'll give you an impression. Oh, okay, that's what I need to do. And just love them. And it's always going to be love. But it's just going to be how. Love doesn't mean ooey-gooey all the time. Sometimes love means you say something kind of tough. But you're saying it because you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit, not the unction of the you know, the spirit of slap. This was from the Holy Spirit, okay? And then you bring it. And so you do that, but it seems foreign to you. And then you do it again. And every time, just like when you're learning a language, someone says, hola, and you're like, your brain translates, oh, that means hello. How do I say hello? How are you? Hola, ¿cómo está? You know, and you're translating. Everything's translating. And you just have to keep doing that. You know, everything's new and it's slow. I remember when I first started traveling in South America, I carried a dictionary in my back pocket. I went out and specifically bought one small to fit in my pocket. And I was constantly, ¿dónde está el baño? You know, you know, you start off that way. And then after a couple years, I remember one day, I'm like, you know what? I don't need to bring that. I left it at home. I'm like, I'm rolling a little bit. I can do without that. Because I hated having that thing, you know? And so, you know, you can start getting a little better. After a while, guess what happens? You're not translating anymore. You just walk in it. It's natural. You can just, you know, hola, amigo, ¿cómo está? Estaba pensando sobre ayer cuando tú me dijiste mi hermano, que tú dijiste, and you start talking and you find yourself, you're not translated anymore. It becomes natural. And it's exactly the same when walking in the Spirit. At first, It's work. It's awkward. Man, this is weird. Really? This is walking in the Spirit? When you just say no to the impulse, your spouse just said something, it's that one thing that gets you every time. You're like, you know, how many times have I had to say that bugs me? And you still do it. You know that bugs me. You know? Oh, that's hilarious. She said, it's getting warm in here. You know that bugs me, you know, and there's that natural impulse, and you know what? This is the easiest place to say, oh, I don't need to do that here because that's my spouse. They know me. They know I love them, you know, so because of that, I can now just kind of, I can speak the way I want to speak to them. I can speak freely. No, you're speaking fleshly. And you've just been speaking fleshly this whole time. It's a decision to get off the flesh wagon. Hello. Get on the Spirit wagon and start speaking by the Spirit. I mean, just freak your spouse out. You know, you'll probably end up having to pick them up off the floor a few times in this process. But just do it. Make the decision, I'm going to walk by the Spirit. And what a great place to start, but with the one that you are, you know, you've developed the most, the ruts that are the deepest, that are not of God, start there and you can become an expert at this. If you do it well there, you become an expert for all the other people that you would come into contact with and you deal with on a regular basis, you know. It's, what am I saying? It's rich, what? It's rich soil. Good job. Good student. It's your relationship, that the closest relationship you have around you, whether that be, you know, your immediate family, your spouse, your, you know, significant other. I mean, that is the richest soil that you have. Yeah, it's the toughest. That's what makes it the richest. It's the richest soil. That means you'll grow the fastest right there. Take advantage of that. See it for what it is. It's an opportunity. It's an advantageous situation, not a disadvantageous. It's advantageous. It's really good. Amen? Okay, so basically another way I would say this, a little thing I wrote down here. What is walking in the Spirit? It is developing a habit of dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Developing a habit of dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Obeying His every prompting. Recognizing that He is God. The Holy Spirit isn't something less than God the Father or God the Son. He is God. Jesus Himself referred to the Holy Spirit as God several times. He's God, 100%, not even 99.999%. He is God. He is the first one mentioned in the Bible moving on the face of the earth. He is God. And when He prompts you, God is prompting you, and you're either going to obey, and I'm either going to obey or disobey God. Every time we make that decision, we're obeying or disobeying God. Now, that isn't to bring condemnation. It's just to, you know, bring reality to what we're really dealing with. That's all. This is just reality. It's very good to kind of shake off the dust of how the devil wants to smooth over that stuff. Oh, you know, I mean, everyone's, you know, and he starts giving you all that, you know. People, I mean, he wants you to use people as your standard. That will wreck your deal every time. That will water down your conviction every single time. Paul said, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. There's only one example we're to follow, and that's Jesus. That's why He came, to give us the example. Watch Him. Read and watch. Watch Him. Watch how He acts. It's Awesome. Now, does he get rough with some people sometimes? Yeah, so love doesn't mean ooey-gooey all the time. But he's moving by the Spirit. Matter of fact, look at that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, after he gets baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, he went into the wilderness, right? Was that a decision he made on his own? Led by the Spirit, Jesus went into the wilderness. The Spirit was leading him. When he was casting out devils, and they accused him of casting out devils by the devil himself, Jesus explained, now let me explain something to you. It doesn't really work that way. A kingdom divided against itself will fall. If I cast out devils by Beelzebub, then Satan is casting out Satan and his kingdom will fall. But if, in fact, I am casting out demons, how? By the Spirit. Then the kingdom of God has, in fact, come to your door. Paraphrasing, but that's what he said. But Jesus himself said, the very power I have that's casting devils out is the Spirit. He says, I cast them out by the Spirit of God. What's my point? My point is, if Jesus, Son of God, had to move by the Spirit, what do you think? Maybe we have to too? Jesus moved by the Spirit. When he was getting ready to leave and depart, and his disciples were getting sad because of it, understandably. Wait. No, you can't, no. You can't leave. I mean, they've been walking with this man that's so incredible for 3.5 years and watching all these miracles. And of course, all the Jews are also angry and they're like, you know, you're the only reason they haven't like taken our heads off because you're here. You can't leave. Jesus said, it is better for you that I leave. How could that possibly be the case? It's better for you that I leave. Why did he say it was better? Because I will pray to the Father and he will send to you a comforter, a helper, a paracletos, the Holy Spirit. And the works that you see that I do, you will do. And greater will you do also. He said, listen, the very thing that enables me to do what I do, you don't get unless I get out of here. When I get out of here, he comes back and he will enter you and you will be just like me. That's the idea, but it's not going to happen if we don't submit to him. Jesus was wholly submitted to this other person who walked with him. Jesus was never alone. He walked with another divine personality, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led him every step of the way. The Holy Spirit would say, this is the Father's desire, do this. This is the Father's will, do this. Jesus ministered to one group of people. They believed in him because he did a lot of great things, a lot of great miracles. Then he goes off into a place and he prays, and he comes back, and the disciples are like, yes, man, round two, let's go back. We got this whole crowd fired up. Man, the offering's going to be great today. And Jesus said, let's go into this town. And they're like, wait, we got something really good going here. And Jesus said, no, I need to go into this other town. They said, Lord, but all the people back here, they're all fired up about you. He said, I must be about my Father's business. I listened to the Father. He said, go into this town. We're going to Joppa or wherever it is. And he goes into another town. He doesn't care if the people are cheering him on or cursing him. It's irrelevant. It's not about my flesh. It's not about what is best for me. It isn't about me. It's about him. Father, what do you have for me to do? So Jesus goes into the next town, and he ends up putting together a whip of cords and opens up a can of whoopee on a bunch of folk and gets a bunch of folks hating him. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I'm about the Father's business. I do what the Father tells me to do. And then he says this very powerful thing. He says, well, he doesn't say it. The narrative is Jesus did not commit himself to man because he knows what's in man and had no need that anyone should testify of him. That Greek word, to testify, means to speak well of, to give good report. Jesus was literally void. Imagine this. I mean, it's hard to even imagine being in this state of mind and being. I have no need. It doesn't exist within me. I'm void of a need that another human being would say anything good about me. I don't have a need. The need doesn't exist. Void of it. That is freedom. Wow, that's freedom. You won't do anything to look good in front of anyone anymore because you don't need it. Now you can just bless them. Be good to people, no matter what they do. They can say the ugliest thing to you. Oh, bless your heart. You know, I love you. You know, you just feel for them. I've been there. I've slipped in and out of it. I've tasted it many times. I know the place, and it is so sweet. Wow, is it sweet. It's so awesome. I was in this one church. I told you all the story a little bit. Man, they were just, half of them thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the other half, I was the devil incarnate, man. They hated me. The one of the ones who loved me was the pastor. So he'd asked me to get up there and teach, which was just pouring gasoline on fire. I just kept teaching, and the ones that were hating were just like, ah, why do we have to listen to him? You know, I mean, they hated me. And I knew it. I mean, I knew they hated me. I knew who it was. And they were just like, you know, and the other people just, you know, they come up to me, man, that's the greatest thing. It's setting me free and all this stuff. And the other were like, you're of the devil. Why'd you ever come to this church, you know? I mean, it was wild. It was a wild ride. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, it's really odd. I look back at it. I can honestly tell you with God as my witness, it didn't touch me. I would look at it almost like, wow, this is interesting. I mean, that was it. And I would just find myself, I would pray for them on a regular, you know, when it would come to my mind in my prayer time, I'd have daily prayer time. I'd be just like, Father, and I pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. And Lord, just bless them. Oh, Lord, minister, show them your goodness, God. I mean, that's what I did. I just prayed for them, loved on them, you know. And, you know, one time this lady came to that service, a visitor, never been there before. She sat in the back row. I'm in the worship band. I'm playing the congas. And I'm just worshiping, you know, having a good old time with the Lord. And at the end of the service, she came up to me and she said, hey, while you guys were worshiping, I just had this incredible vision. I mean, she was blown away. You could tell, you could see it in her eyes. She's like, I just saw this cross on the ground. And you know, it, obviously in my mind, I'm thinking it's Jesus. And then the cross lifts up and she goes, it's the guy on the congas. She could see my face clear as day. And she's like, it's that guy. This is weird. And she said, I was on the cross just smiling. Just happy as can be, you know. Wow. And she's like, Lord, what is this? And she said, the Lord told me to tell you that he sees that you are being crucified in this church, but the joy that is on you is because of your relationship with him and your praise to him, and stay there and you will stay in that place, or something to that effect. Wow. I was like, woo, glory. But I was literally, I'm like, being crucified in the church and just happy as could be. That was one of those pockets, you know, where I was in there. I literally didn't care. Now, you know how you come to that place where you don't care? Any idea how that's possible?
Get your focus on what you shouldn't care
about. Right. What is that? Exactly. Bingo. Ding, ding, ding. That's it. I was completely renewed in my mind about what he thinks about me. And I was just lit. I'm like, you don't like me. That's wild because the creator of the universe thinks I'm great. You know, it's just like, I'm not trying to be insulting, but do you realize how little it matters to me what you think when he thinks I'm great? You know what I mean? I mean, it's that mindset of realizing God's completely in love with me. He thinks I mean, he's got a picture of me in his wallet. I'm on his fridge. You know, he calls me all the time. We talk. I mean, it's wonderful. I have an awesome relationship with the Creator. He thinks I'm great. Apparently, you don't understand things correctly, and I understand that. Take some time. Spend some time with him. He'll tell you how great I am, you know? No, you know what I mean. It's just like, you just have a mindset of, God's in love with me. I'm good. And you know how you get there? One step at a time, precept upon precept, line upon line, meditating in the Word, getting your mind renewed to the Word of God, and walking by the Spirit. When the Spirit prompts you to do something and you do it, you're just one step closer to becoming fluent in the heavenly language. And you start to walk by the Spirit. You know, in the beginning, it may just be one thing you did, one day. I mean, one moment that you walked by the Spirit that day. You did one thing that day. And the next day, maybe there's two of them. And then after a little bit of period of time, you find you walked half a day totally in the Spirit before you got out of the Spirit, walked in the flesh, right? And then after a while, it starts to become a lifestyle, and moving by the Spirit becomes the natural, the norm, and walking by the flesh becomes the abnormal thing. Go ahead. Yes. And a beautiful opportunity.
Yes, I have peace over me because I know who I am. And I felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
Because I said to myself, she probably goes to church on a Sunday and thinks that she is serving the same holy God that I serve.
Yeah. Now that was the flesh.
Yes.
Yes, amen. Right.
And know that God is love. We all have come from the seed of Abraham. We all come from Noah's descendants. And I don't want anybody to perish and go to hell.
Amen.
Based on some genetic thing that they think is wrong with me when I'm not made in the image of God, created in his likeness.
Amen.
And I don't have a problem with who I am. I don't have a problem with who God says I am.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen. Yes. Yep. And not only that, just remember, too, remember this real simple, powerful truth. Simple but powerful. When people do things to hurt us, just like when we do things that hurts other people, hurt people hurt people. And so the only reason they're acting like that is because they're hurt. Something's awry. Something's wrong. They've been hurt, you know, and they're acting out of it. You don't know what happened to them in their life, you know. Here's an opportunity to love them and change their life. Help change their life. Your life's already been blessed. You've already been changed. You've already been kissed by God. Let's kiss them, you know? Kiss them with the love of God and help change their life and bring them closer to the relationship that you have. Help them to come to a place of experiencing the same beautiful thing that you have in your life. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot more I could add. I had some nice notes here I did want to talk about, but we'll get into that maybe next week. So I know I'm getting close to wrapping up this series, but I'm not going to push it. I'm just going to go with it. Amen. Thank you. Father, yeah, go ahead. I was just going to pray in closing, but if you've got to... Okay, good. Father, we just thank you so much. For first of all, your work in us, that you've placed your Holy Spirit within us. Holy Spirit, we just want to acknowledge you right now and say we thank you so much that you have taken up residence in us. You've committed yourself to us to show us how to live the victorious life that God has for us. And I pray that you would move on every one of our hearts, that we would make the decision to commit ourselves to you, to be led by you and not by our flesh the rest of our days. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, and we ask you to move in our lives in a powerful way, even this week, to prompt us every time we have that opportunity to make a decision between the flesh and the spirit. You would prompt us and say, here's that opportunity. And we want to make a commitment right now as a family. We're going to be a family that walks by the Spirit, no longer by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Father, we pray for the sealing of this word today, that it would not be stolen by the enemy. And Father, that it would grow and bring forth a hundredfold return, Father. That it would continue to grow and continue to grow, Father. Holy Spirit, seal this word. We love you. We choose to walk by you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.